Hello everyone. How are we? I'm just going to check on my phone that I am live and that everything's looking okay. I hope my lighting situation's going to be all right here as well. All right, is looking okay to me. How is that going? I'm just as I'm on here and as you guys are joining me, if you could let me know if at any stage you can't hear me or see me properly. I know it's a little dim. I've got the sun going down over there at the moment, so I might lose my light at some point. But I'm on a new internet connection because I'm in my new apartment. So this is my new home. My living room is currently empty. So as you can see, I have a new rug that I got, which is a beautiful. Oh, there's my light. That's good. Let's keep that going. I got this beautiful new rug that I love, but I don't have any living room furniture yet. So hopefully that will come with time. It will. We'll set the living room up very soon. But I jumped on a minute or so early because I just wanted to make sure that I'm all set up in this new environment. Now, I don't know how many of you'll be able to join me tonight. I've found that as I've moved the calls to 5, which is Australia time, 5 p.m., I've had less people able to join. So I think for our final two after this, I'm going to put them back in the morning. I get better light anyway when I run them in the morning. And fingers crossed, that suits everyone. So I'm just going to dive into the questions that I've got. It doesn't look like anyone's here live with me, but as you are able to join me, say hi to me as you're able to join. Okay, I'm going to dive into the questions that I've got and we'll get started. But as I said, as you're popping on, say hello to me and let me know who is here with me. All right. What's really cool about the first two questions that I'm going to dive into is that they're very similar. And I love when I see similar questions come through because it gives me the indication that many of you are processing and working through similar things, and I think that's I can hear some kids outside. You probably hear them screaming. I think that's really powerful because it shows that we're all energetically connected, and you're all moving through similar things and processing similar things as you're doing the coursework. So where we're going to begin is with the questions that I have up here. There's a bit around boundaries coming in. And I touch on some stuff around boundaries in this week's class that's coming out around living from the heart. It's not a full in-depth conversation around boundaries, but I do touch on boundaries as being a necessary component of living from your heart. So I just realized the light's looking like lines across my face, but we'll deal with that. Boundaries are necessary to protect the heart. So you can have an open heart, but you have to have boundaries in place to protect your heart. So I talk about in the class, we don't want armor around the heart. We don't want to protect the heart by shutting down. We want to protect the heart through healthy boundaries, which means you can follow your heart, you can follow your truth, you can express yourself, you can be who you are, who you want to be, without leaking energy everywhere. And without giving your energy to places it doesn't feel good to you, and without compromising on your values. Yeah. So let's just talk a little bit here around the two things I've got that are coming through around boundaries. They're sort of different, sort of similar. They're also about people pleasing. That is a big place we find it hard to implement boundaries because we feel there's a consequence to it. So we might feel in ourselves that we want to say no to something, we want to withdraw from someone's energy, we don't want to spend time with a certain person, something doesn't feel right to kind of put our energy into it, but we find it hard to say no or to not do it or to follow through on our own truth because it may mean that someone else won't be happy with us. And so when we're people pleasing, we don't have boundaries in place because a boundary might mean upsetting someone, disappointing someone, someone having a reaction because they're not happy with, because you haven't made them happy. So when we're people pleasing, we're not making ourselves happy, we're making other people happy. That's not self-love. That is self-sacrifice. That is saying your happiness is my responsibility. And as the women have touched on here, and they've been exploring the external love addiction, it's saying, who do I need to be? What do I need to do to get love from you? I'm willing to modify myself. I'm willing to cross over my own value systems. I'm willing to sacrifice what's important to me so that I can get your love. And what these both these women have shown me here is just amazing self-awareness that they can really start to see where they're doing that and where that's come from childhood stuff, and now they're at the point where they want to shift it. So let's dive into some conversations around this. Okay, first of all, a woman talking about a dynamic she has with her yoga boss. She said she's finding that she gets really nervous around interacting with her yoga instructor and boss because this person has strong patterns of control. And she's witnessed that tendency in herself. So that's a beautiful mirror to be able to see. Sometimes we manifest other people to show up in a certain way to help us see aspects of ourselves. And the things that trigger us about other people are things that are going on inside of us that maybe we're not fully owning and resolving and working on. But now she's finding that there's a pattern of her always saying yes. She's finding it hard to say no to what this woman is asking her to do, what this woman is, I think, offering her classes and requesting her to work. And she ends up teaching too many classes, like taking on board too much stuff. And as a result, she's becoming depleted. And so she's aware that she wants to people please because she wants to be liked. So she can see that, and she's starting to shine some light on that. And there's some fear there for her around not being loved as who she is. So she can understand that there's some work there around loving and accepting these parts of herself and loving herself. But then she's saying, is there something I can do to go deeper into this, to heal this more, to shift this? And there is something that I want to say, and this will relate to anything where you want to shift a pattern of behavior. So part of what I'm teaching you in the course is some of the inner digging work, right? Where you're getting to know parts of yourself in a deeper way by shining more light on them, doing some inner work around them, deconstructing them a little. Let me give you the next piece of the puzzle, which I haven't as yet really taught you in the course. I might bring it in towards the end of module 3, or it might be another course that I'm teaching altogether. But when you have, say, a pattern of behavior, a way of being that you no longer want to run anymore, what I find useful to do is to explore and tap into the new version of you, who you would be without this pattern, how you want to show up instead. So rather than sort of being like, oh, well, how do I heal this pattern? And you end up actually just giving your attention to it over and over and over again. I want you to instead, okay, so I want you to figure out what are the belief systems that are going on around this pattern. And it might be, you know, I need to please other people so that I can be liked. The only way that she'll be happy with me is if I say yes. If I say no, it will disappoint her. You might have a belief system around, you know, the only way for me to get love is to make other people happy, or it's not safe for me to put myself first. Whatever the belief system is of this old way of being, this way of being that you've learned to run your whole life. And then I want you to write out, okay, a woman who no longer runs this pattern, the woman who is the woman you want to be, the woman who is living in her power, what does she believe? So what would you need to believe? What would you need to be telling yourself? What would need to be your belief systems about yourself for you to show up differently? So you'd need to believe, and you want to write out this in whatever resonates with you, but you'd need to believe it's safe for me to put myself first. It's safe for me to say no. Other people's happiness isn't my responsibility. I do what's right for me. I do what feels good to me. You know, my top priority is looking after myself. And if there's repercussions for other people, that's not my responsibility. My only job is to honor what feels good and right to me, whatever your belief systems are. So really think about the woman who you want to be, what does she believe? Because those belief systems will guide your actions and your behavior. And once you've got a bit of an idea of what she believes, I want you to really write out this woman, like describe her. How, what does this woman do when her boss says to her, can you work this shift? And her whole body in herself is like, no, I don't want to. Or she feels tired or she knows she doesn't have time for it. What does this woman do? How does she respond? How does she act? What decision does she make? How does she communicate that? You want to describe her. So do this anytime you want to change your behavior. Write out and describe this new version of you. This, what is this? How does this person act? How do they think? What do they do? How do they respond? If they had great boundaries, if they were no longer people pleasing. And then you will almost get like an instruction manual of how you need to show up. And it will show you and almost describe to you what you need to start to practice now. So then you might go into, well, let me imagine and play on the screen of my mind. Let me imagine myself doing that. And let me think about what that would look like. And if, say, for example, you've got this one scene in your mind that always happens where she comes and says, can you do this shift? And you want to be able to stand in your power and say, no, sorry, I'm not available for that. For example, let's just say, I want you to practice that. I want you to imagine doing that in your mind. I want you to stand in front of the mirror and look in your own eyes and practice that new way of being. Imagining you're talking to her, get used to saying it, get used to doing it. It's going to feel uncomfortable. You might feel a bit triggered. You might feel guilty. You might feel like, oh my God, she hates me. That's just the repercussions of you stepping into a new way of being and breaking your old pattern. So that's why a lot of us don't want to do something new, because it's going to be uncomfortable. Like the old way doesn't work for us anymore, but it feels comfy. It feels safe. So the new way of being, it's not going to feel comfy and safe. I guarantee you, you're going to feel uncomfortable about it. But the more you practice it, the more familiar you'll get with it. So that's the first thing, is recognizing you don't have to do something differently. It's going to feel uncomfortable, and that's got to be okay. But I want you to really map out very clearly what you need to believe about yourself, how you would act, how you'd respond, what you'd say, how this woman holds her body when she's speaking her truth. You know, really get into your, get grounded and say what you want to say. And the more that you practice it, the easier it will get. But that's my process for how, when I say I want to change who I'm being and how I'm showing up, I think about what is it that I want to see myself doing and what does that look like? I write it all out. How do I approach things differently? How do I handle things differently? And then I literally, like, that's my instruction manual of who I need to be. And then I just go and execute it. And it's hard. It's not easy. But I describe, okay, this is what this new version of me is going to do now. This is how she shows up. So that's what I think is a much more constructive and empowering shift now. You've done the first step, which is to become aware of the old pattern. You've unpacked what it's really about. You've recognized that you need to love yourself more and even love yourself by being willing to upset someone else because you love yourself so much and you value your own time so much. And then get clear on what that's going to look like practically and how you're going to show up now. And practice that in your mind and practice that in front of the mirror so that you can actually then practice it with her. I hope that's helpful. Similar with this other woman who's talked about boundaries, similar kind of thing, boundaries in her coaching practice, which I can relate to because I've been coaching for 6 years. And I also, as this woman said, she realized that her pattern of overbooking herself and self-sacrificing to make time for her clients and let her clients get into her calendar because they need her, even though she's at capacity and exhausted, she's aware that comes from her inner child wanting to seek and please others, seek love and please others and get praise for helping people, which mirrors my childhood to a T, as you would probably know, because I was always helping others and getting praise from my parents for doing that. And she knows that if she works with her inner child, the boundaries will get easier to implement. But what she says she's struggling with is when a long-term client, so sometimes she really has someone she really has a relationship with, which goes back to the other woman's thing. So someone that we really want to make happy, someone that we have a bit of power in, when that person comes to her urgently and says, I really need to speak to you, but she's at capacity, she has a lot of trouble saying no, and we'll book them in even though she's totally got a hectic schedule. So I'm going to talk about this in two ways, because there's kind of the broad idea around it, and then there's specifically around coaching that I can talk about. Let's just talk about my experience with this. So specifically with coaching, when I very first started coaching, this may or may not be you, but this, I'll be honest, I really did have this mentality like, I'm here to rescue people, I'm here to heal people, I'm here to save people. And I got so much self-worth, but kind of like ego self-worth, out of knowing that I had the ability to make someone happy and heal them and save them, and when they were in pain and I could give them something that would help them, and they'd be like, Connie, you're amazing, I'm so grateful, like I would feel so good about myself, which is beautiful and genuine, but I could see there was a bit of my own shit getting in the way there. What I've learned over the years that has really helped me put in boundaries and is so important to realize when you're in an industry of helping and serving and empowering other people, or when you're in any relationship dynamic where there's a bit of codependency going on. And this is kind of codependency because your client is dependent on you. Your client's dependent on you. This, some of what I'm saying might be a bit triggering, but just bear with me. This has come from my own personal experience. So when that client has something coming up for them, and rather than believing and knowing they have the tools and the ability to work through it themselves, or they even have something within themselves that they can use to help them process it, they instead think, I need to talk to my coach. Like, it's urgent. I have to talk to my coach. Now, I get it, because I reach out to my practitioners when I'm in those big periods, or my friends, whatever. But notice how in those moments there's power in you, and that person is not in their own power. They've got power in you. And they're looking outside themselves saying, the only thing that's going to help me with this is my coach. And to some extent, sort of don't know how to say this without it being a bit triggering, but sometimes we can enable people not being in their power by rescuing them. It's like when, do you ever have those friends? I've had them, and I've been this person where the minute you get triggered, say this has happened to you, the minute you've been triggered, you need to jump on the phone and complain to someone and get some help. Or, you know, those friends, the minute something happens, they want to get on the phone and talk about it. Versus, how about you just sit with your process for a bit? Sit with your own emotions, sit with your own stuff. That's been my thing. So I used to get really triggered and then get straight on the phone and need to get talk to someone and get some help. Versus, how about I believe in my own ability to handle this? So one of the most empowering things you can actually do for your clients, and I try to say this to my clients a lot, is I say to them, I don't hold the power. I don't hold the answers. My intention is to reconnect you with your power, is to give you the tools, is for you to know and believe that you have it all inside of you. I'm just the facilitator that helps you access that. And yes, I'm going to be here for you 100%, but if I'm not here, you still have the ability to do that for yourself. So sometimes my clients, and this is not just coaching, guys, this is in relationships, friendships, romantic relationships, like, don't rescue people. And you inhibit their process of them stepping into their power and becoming resilient in figuring it out for themselves. Just like with kids. Don't we say with kids, oh, let them fall over, let them hurt themselves. That's how they learn. Versus when we just coddle them and wrap them up in cotton wool, we're buffering them constantly from what they need to experience in themselves. I'm hoping this is making sense the way I'm trying to explain this. And I could be going a bit over the top with it, but it's something I've really learned in my journey. Even with my friends that call me sometimes because they know I'm a coach, and my friends call me wanting coaching support, and I've learned how to not try to rescue them, but just hold space for them and try to get them to actually come to their own answers themselves, rather than me being like, okay, cool, I'll be coach and help you. So what I've done with my clients have email access to me. Sometimes if I'm really busy, I can't get back to their emails right away. And what's really fascinating is that when I don't get back to them, by the time I email them, they've already figured it out for themselves. They'll very often say, oh, actually, Connie, you know, I did some journaling and I did that. When they realize I'm not available to just give them the answer, they figure it out themselves. I don't know if you've ever had that where I know sometimes I've wanted to book in with one of my healers and I'm like, oh my God, I need to speak to this person tomorrow. And they're like, I can't get you until next week. It is amazing how much I actually can come to the answer myself over the course of that week. And by the time I go to speak to them, that thing isn't an issue and I've got something else to talk to them about. Think about if you've ever experienced that. So if you actually want to focus on serving your clients the best, there's a lot of power in not enabling codependency. You might reply to them and say, I'm booked up until next week, but in the meantime, here's a few notes in an email. Here's a few things to explore in your journal. Here's a few things to think about. I often do that with my clients. I'm like, here's a few questions I want you to explore before we can chat next week. So you might still give them something, but I want you to remember you're actually serving them in a greater way by not always being instantly available for them. And you can even say that to them. You'd be like, you know, I really believe that you have a lot of the tools in place to work through this, you know, draw on this, and this tool that we've spoken about, apply this before we speak next, you know, draw on your self-care toolkit. So, yeah, I know I've kind of harped on about that point, but it's something I've really, really had to learn. And do it in all your relationships, guys. When we sort of go a bit codependent and try to rescue people, we can end up interfering with their process of them really coming into their own power and figuring it out for themselves. That's just something I've learned. And it's so much lighter for me. And I say this to my clients all the time, like, your results are not my responsibility. I'm not here to help you. I'm hoping that after 4 to 5 months of working together, you don't need me anymore. And if you do need me, it's only because it's maintenance for you to go to the next level, because I want you to have everything inside of you. I want you to have the tools. I want you to have the resources. And I said that to you guys in our very first group coaching call. I want you to be able to self-reflect and come up with the answers to your own questions. And I know a lot of you are doing that. But it's the way that we get to have two people in their power rather than codependency. All right. I can't tell if anyone's on here with me. I mean, it's looking like no one is. If no one can make it live, that's fine. But normally I have people saying hi to me. Anyways, I'm wondering, let me just have a look on my phone. And I'm hoping you guys can hear me. I mean, I'm hoping this is working. I actually don't know. Let's just have a look. It's just very strange for me to... No, it doesn't look like anyone's live with me. Let me just check my connection though. Oh, I can see myself
That's
looking
just
good.
Very strange for me too.
Okay, no, my connection looks great. No worries. Oh, that's a shame no one can be here, but that's okay. I'll talk to myself. Okay, question. How do I show up more fully? What practices do you have around feeling empowered? How do I show up more fully? Okay, a couple of things that I would want to say there. One, when it comes to living in your power, I think very simply living in your power is taking 100% full responsibility for everything. I did a podcast on it. If you want to find my Awaken Radio episode about the victim mentality, that's where I talk about victimhood being versus being in your power. When we're being a victim, we're making excuses. We're procrastinating, we're avoiding, we're saying, I can't do this because, or acting as though the world has more power than us. We're acting as though we are not the manifestors and creators of our lives. We're not owning the fact that we are the creator of an entire universe and that everything, now this is a triggering statement, but everything in our world we have created. And so we come back into our power when we take full responsibility for our results, we take full responsibility for what we're manifesting, we take full responsibility for how we're showing up in our lives, we stop making excuses and we stop blaming outside forces, and we take 100% responsibility that if we're not getting the results that we want, it's because of something we're doing, and that's what we need to look at. That's empowering. When you take full responsibility, it's like, awesome, then I can change it. For as long as I'm just disowning it, I can't change it because it's outside my control. But when you bring it back into the realm of your responsibility, then you can change it. You know, if you want to say, how do I show up more fully? Well, I want you to get really clear. What does showing up more fully look like to you? Get specific about that. So is it a certain area of life you want to do it in? Do you want to show up more fully in your work, in your exercise regime? Don't say everything because that's a bit overwhelming, I think, for you to be like, how do I do that? Start off really specific with a couple of areas of life or a couple of areas, and write out what would it actually look like to show up more fully in this area. So here's where I'm showing up and this is what it looks like. So I remember doing a podcast about commitment as well, and I was talking about yoga. And I was saying, okay, current level was I go to yoga sometimes. Most of the time I just dabble in it. If I don't feel like going, I don't go. That was kind of my pattern of behavior. And then you can go, okay, maybe that's what I'm doing now. Well, what would showing up fully look like in this area? And then you can describe it. You could be like, well, it would mean a consistent 3 to 4 day a week practice. It would mean going rain, hail, or shine. It would mean even if I'm tired, I still maybe go to a class, maybe just a yin class. It would look different, right? I wouldn't tolerate my own excuses. I would be on a membership, whatever it is. So actually, again, you know, I've said this a bit in this call today, but write it out. Get really specific and give yourself a set of instructions so you know what you're aiming for. Otherwise, to sort of say, just show up fully, it's really broad. How do I even know if I am unless I define what showing up more fully looks like? And when you've got clear on that, then you can hold yourself to account on that every day. And then when you notice you're not showing up for that, then you take responsibility and you look at it in yourself when you're like, okay, what excuse or what storyline was I believing that allowed me to not show up for what I said I was going to show up for? I hope that helps. Question about self-care. There are so many practices that I know make me feel awesome, but I have a hard time committing to doing them every day and making self-care a habit. Do you have any advice about really committing to a self-care routine? Yes, I do. The thing with self-care is, I've said this before, but we don't want it to be a to-do list, and we don't want items on self-care that don't make you feel good, but are things more so that you feel like you should do, or things that will look like good self-care, right? You want self-care to really actually feel like self-care. So let me give you an example. Before I do that, I've said this before in the course, but I think the two most powerful questions that you can ask for self-care, and this simplifies self-care, and I think this is all you need to do. How am I feeling? What do I need? That is it. And all self-care is answering that question moment to moment. Please, let's not think self-care is like I go to yoga, I drink green juice, I go for a run every morning, I have a perfect morning routine, I have a hot bath before bed, I read self-help books. It doesn't have to be that. It can be, but be aware of holding yourself to that standard and then feeling bad because you can't commit to it because it's unrealistic. Versus those questions, how am I feeling? What do I need? How am I feeling? What do I need? You can just practice that all day. And then you're just doing these little practices each day that give you what you need. So here's my example. So ever since, I've been in this big transition over the past 2 months since the start of August, I have felt really disconnected, really ungrounded. You know, I've lived in 4 different places over the past 2 months. You guys have seen it. Every video that I've done, every live call has had a different backdrop because I've been in a huge process of transition, and I was just feeling this morning so disconnected from my self-care, so disconnected from myself, from my body, from my intuition, all of it. I'm just like, bleh, I feel really not like myself. And so I was sitting in bed this morning, and my mind was trying to think back to all the self-care that I've done in the past and was trying to get me to get back into it. So it's like, oh, Con, you haven't journaled in so long. Get out your journal. Oh, it's a beautiful morning. You should be down at the beach. You live by the beach now. Go down for a run at the beach. And my mind was getting so noisy and I was feeling really anxious. And so while I was hearing all this stuff that sounded like great self-care, my whole body just felt like pressure. Like, oh, should I try to do my journaling and then go down to the beach? And so I just sat with myself and I'm like, what am I really needing? I knew I was feeling anxious. I was feeling disconnected. What am I really needing? What would really help me right now? And I remembered that I'd signed up for an online yoga class membership that I haven't even used. And I felt this instant relief in my body of like, oh, a bit of yoga, that would feel so good right now. So I rolled out my yoga mat in my living room that has no furniture. It's just like my yoga studio now. And did 30 minutes, this beautiful, hot, sweaty yoga class on my computer. And by the end of it, felt amazing. And that was simply me really tuning in and feeling into what I really needed. I didn't tick any of the perfect items off the list based on what typically is great self-care for me. I asked myself what I needed. Now that is self-care. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It could have meant if I tuned in and my body said, Con, go back to sleep for half an hour, that would have been self-care. I really want you to get this, guys, how simple it is, and that it's just a practice of attending to yourself and really giving yourself what you're craving. In that moment, there are no rules around what good self-care is. It's just looking after yourself. And that was a big lesson for me this morning in realizing that every day my self-care is going to be different based on what my body's saying it's craving and needing. So that's how I practice it. Let's see. I'd like to ask a question around intuition and dating. This is something we talked about before, and this woman's given me a follow-up question. It's really interesting what she said. So she said she was complaining for a while there about men being too shallow and she wanted to meet someone more spiritual. And now she's met this guy who's almost too spiritual. I went through this as well, where I set the intention to meet a spiritual guy and then I met this guy that was so spiritual that he wasn't attractive. And I was like, wow, it's got to be a happy medium there somewhere. But first of all, acknowledge your manifestation. Can you just really acknowledge that you created that? That's very powerful. When you set an intention where you say, I've realized I want this, and then you manifest it, good on you. That's awesome. But she said she's finding it a challenge in that I really enjoy spending time with him. It's always pure magic. But I think there's some things with it that aren't quite sitting right for her, that the financial aspect of things is important to her, and it seems like he has no interest whatsoever in financials and consumerism and the material world, all that stuff. And I think she's sort of a bit like, okay, I really love the spiritual vibe, but there's some of my material needs here as well that it's not feeling quite aligned with how he sees it. So this is like any experience, right? It could be with dating. It could be with anything. It could be with a job you manifest. It could be with a group of friends that you meet. And Abraham Hicks talk about this a lot. It's like a buffet, they describe it as. And there's all these different options in the buffet. And we get to trial the different things. And every time we try one thing, it kind of helps us get clearer on what we don't like and then what we do want to try instead. And so life has all this variety and we get to kind of experience and trial different things. And then through each thing that we try, we get clearer on what we want. So the contrast helps give us clarity around what we want. And so sometimes we manifest extremes of things. Like this is kind of an extreme manifestation of her desire to meet this sort of certain type of guy. I've very much manifested the same thing too. You're allowed to reflect on the experience and choose what feels good and right about it and what doesn't. Be aware of, I can feel there's a part of you sort of trying to convince yourself that you should be able to just be really cool with and go along with his approach to life, but it feels like there's part of it that isn't quite sitting right with you. And I want you to trust your intuition. She's sort of trying to distinguish here. She's saying when you're waiting for the Mr. Big to manifest in your reality and really believing that you can have it all, or are you kind of being a perfectionist and then risking ending up alone? And then she's like, is the only answer to listen to your intuition? And yes, it is. Just because you've manifested a spiritual guide that ticks 9 out of 10 boxes or maybe 5 out of 10 boxes for you, if there's something intuitively that doesn't sit quite right with you, that is totally okay. It's not about being picky. Pickiness sort of comes from the mind, but it is about really sitting with the body and saying, what parts of this experience feel really good to me? What parts of this just aren't sitting right? And when I get clarity on what isn't feeling right, that helps me then birth my next desire, which gives me even more clarity about what I want moving forward, where you're like, I want this guy who is conscious and spiritual, but I also want him really grounded in the real material world. You want the union of both. And if that's truly what you feel, you desire, you're allowed to hold out for that. Now, it doesn't mean breaking up with this guy. Just like, say, you get a job and you only like 50% of the job. It doesn't mean you just quit. Trust whatever you manifest. Trust that this guy has come into your life for a reason. He's helping you have these experiences. Really appreciate and get grateful for what you really love about it. Just like anything that you manifest, really appreciate what you love about it. Celebrate where it was a real match to what you asked for. Be like, yeah, look at my amazing manifestation. He's like this, this, and this, and that's exactly what I asked for. But if there's things that aren't feeling right, listen to that. And don't rush out of the experience, but just keep trusting it. I think just keep moving through the experiences with him. And you've just got to really trust that in the moment a decision needs to be made, you'll know. It sounds like for the moment, your job here is just to experience him. Experience this crazy contrast of this guy who's very different to anyone you've ever dated, and enjoy it and learn from it. And pay strong attention to your own body when your body says, oh, that thing just doesn't sit well with me at all, or that, yeah, that feels really good. If at some point a decision needs to be made about the relationship, either to become more serious or to no longer be in it, trust that you'll know the answer to that in the moment you need to make that decision. Trust that if you don't feel like the decision needs to be made now, that you don't need to make it. Maybe you're just having the experience. But if at the moment that some decision needs to be made, trust yourself that you'll know the answer in the moment you need to make that choice. If you keep listening to your body wisdom, to your intuition, you will know. And this has been a big thing I've had to work through is, can I be picky, if we're going to use that word? How selective can I be with what I want? Sometimes, I don't know, for example, with manifesting this home, let's just talk about that, because I'll be really honest, this home isn't what I had in mind. It's not what I expected. It's not what I wanted. I saw several other apartments that I actually preferred over this one, but I didn't get them. This one got offered to me and got offered to me very quickly and very easily. And while my mind has a bit of resistance, being like, oh, but it has this, this, and this, which are things that I don't really want, I'm like, this home is manifested for me for a reason. There's something for me to experience. Maybe for this particular experience, it's about dropping a lot of my mental ideas around what I think I have, how perfect things have to be for me to be happy, and really just appreciating what I have. So around something like my home, I'm making little compromises on things that were on my list, because this home has other things that were really important to me. And also, it's a home. Like, I was looking for a home for 2 months and couldn't find anything. So that's an area where I feel in myself I compromise a little. And I say, okay, it doesn't have this, this, and this, but I can still love and appreciate it. For me personally, relationships, it's an area that I'm less likely to do that in. There are some areas I will do that. There are other areas where I stay quite clear on what's important to me. Maybe not necessarily like how he looks or how he presents on the outside, but how I feel. So pay attention to how you feel with him. Most important thing. That was what I was choosing in my home as well. It's just, how do I feel when I'm in here? Does this feel like home to me? And this feels like home. I walk in and I'm like, this is Connie's home. It feels like it. That's the most important thing. So when you're with him, do you feel the way you want to feel? Does it feel aligned and right and good? If at different times things feel off, trust that. You want to follow how it feels rather than how it looks externally. Yeah. So I think we can compromise on the external ticker box items, but we don't compromise on the feelings. Couple of final questions. I was going to be like, this is the first live call where no one's said hi to me. This timing, I don't think it works well for people. That's all right. You guys can watch the replay. I'm just sitting here in my little empty living room talking to myself, but that's all right. I feel like I'm going through a major transition phase in my life where things feel really uncertain. Hi, Carol. So nice to see you here, Carol, and thank you for the hello. Big kiss to you. I appreciate you joining me. I've been thinking about you, actually, and I hope you're doing well because you and I have chatted quite a bit. And, if you ever want to shoot me an email and give me an update on what's unfolding for you, I'd love to hear it because you do come into my mind a little bit. But I hope everything's well with you. What practices do you have around developing trust and clarity when we're going through a major transition phase? Well, I've just been in one huge transition phase for the past 2 months. And, you know, the way that the ego self wants to find clarity is through knowing what's going to happen, right? So that's how most of us want to feel safe and find certainty. Oh, beautiful. No problems, Carol. Yeah, please do. Yeah, get in touch whenever you have a chance. I'd love to hear what's going on for you. So the mind, the ego self, will want to be able to trust based on what it can see. It will want to be able to trust because it has evidence and proof. It will want to be able to find clarity because it can see it with its eyes. So when you're in a transition phase, you're surrounded by uncertainty. And like I said, I've been in that for such a long period of time. Let me just uncross my legs. My legs, my foot's going numb. How do we find trust and clarity? Well, you're not going to be able to find it outside of yourself a lot of the time. And I think that's the first thing, is to let go of needing to find that, because it will leave you feeling anxious, constantly looking for evidence and proof and signs outside of yourself. For me, the things that have helped are, one, staying in the present moment as much as I can, because if your future has so much uncertainty, but right here, right now, you're okay, then just keep coming back to right here, right now, where you're okay. In all this time that I was moving around, didn't know where I was living, I always had a roof over my head. I always had somewhere beautiful to stay. I always had food in the fridge. So I just kept, whenever I was feeling crazy about the future, I'd come back to where I was and I'd remind myself, right now, everything's okay. I'm fine. Like, I'm so taken care of right here, right now, in this moment. So if you can keep coming back to the moment, to where you are, and to the feeling of that you're safe, you're supported, you're secure right now, that energy of like, oh, everything's okay, that helps align things in your future. When you're sitting in the space of, oh my God, I don't know what's happening and I'm freaking out, and oh my God, I'm freaking out, and oh my God, where's the proof of what's going to happen? You're going to keep just delaying everything because you're not in alignment with ease. Yeah? You're just going to keep sort of manifesting the craziness. So that's one thing. The only place you can find clarity and trust is within yourself and is in your relationship with your inner self. So that's where our inner connection practices of things like meditation or going on a walk where we can just hear that beautiful, loving inner wisdom or something where we can come into our bodies and just feel safe and connected in our bodies and hear our body wisdom, excuse me, that's how you find trust. When you can hear the little inner whisper, using your journal, opening up space for a different piece of wisdom to come through, a different voice to speak to you, whatever practice helps you access that sort of calm inner space. So you're only going to find it through the present moment and through listening within yourself for little whispers of the next step. And take life one step at a time. That's literally been my mantra. You just take life one step at a time. What's the next step I need to take? I don't think about the step after the next one until I take the next step. That is how the whole thing unfolds in the unknown, one step at a time. You're not going to see the plan. So stay in the present moment. Have your self-connection practices in place that help you access that loving inner wisdom. Take life one step at a time. Stop looking for proof outside of yourself of security, because you're not going to find it. Let go of the need to see the proof with your eyes and just keep tuning into what you feel and ask, what's the next step for me to take? And if there's no answer, then go and do something beautiful and loving for yourself. Just enjoy the present moment. If there's an answer, then you take that step. That's literally how I've been living, like walking blindfolded for the past few months. Can I recommend any essential oils for women? I love lavender. I find lavender, anything floral, I find lavender really feminine and calming. Rose is amazing as well, but rose is very expensive. But rose oil is one of the most feminine oils you can have. Any of the flowers, I think things like, what are some of the other flowers? There's like, is geranium, is that one of them? Geranium oil, jasmine maybe? I think sort of floral scents in the essential oils, flower-based ones, they're usually, I find, the most feminine. And final question around books that are related to what I've been talking about in module 2, healing external love and intuition body wisdom. So this is where I go, I think I need to write a book, because I don't know what I would recommend on that. Healing external love addiction and intuition body wisdom. I did. Look, Gabby's work is pretty good for intuition stuff. Gabby Bernstein. I have mentioned her before. She has a book, Add More ING to Your Life, and also her book, Spirit Junkie. They were some of her original books that I thought were quite good for really teaching you how to trust your intuition. She lives very much guided by spirit in that way. Healing the external love addiction. Well, I mean, Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life, talks a lot about self-love, which I think is very powerful. I think her book is really great for that. But specifically to those topics, not much else is coming to mind. If I think of anything, I'll let you know. Otherwise, just stay tuned for when I write my book in who knows how long. Anyway, guys, that's my live call for tonight. It's been really nice getting to come on here and talk to you. I know no one's been able to join me live except beautiful Carol, but that's fine. The replay will be here for you. We're stepping into module 3 now. So module 3 comes out this weekend, and, you know, we're just really going to be talking about a lot more of the softer, more nurturing, positive practices. I talk a bit in this weekend's class about the heart energy and clearing out some of the blocks and the barriers that may be preventing the flow of love within you, things that stop the flow of the heart energy. We're going to be talking next week about intuition. The week after that, we're going to be talking about surrender. Excuse me. The dust in my throat, it's been so windy. And then the week after that will be about some of the stuff I was talking about today around how to step into new versions of ourselves and really upgrade moving forward. So we've got a beautiful month ahead of us. I'm really proud of all of you. I know in in module 2, I probably haven't been as present as I could and should have been with the group. I shared there's been a lot going on for me personally with my big transition, but I'm in a home now, so it'll be a lot more, I'll be a lot more supported in myself to be able to show up for everyone as we continue to move through this journey together. I love you all a lot, and I'm thinking of you all, and I look forward to hearing your thoughts on this video and the group coaching call when you have a chance to watch it. Sending you lots of love, guys. Bye.